This is Radio Today broadcasting in Johannesburg on 1485 AM and nationally on DSTV Audio Channel 869.
Welcome to Conversations with Nikki with your host, Nikki Zeberini.
Well, welcome to Conversations with Nikki. I am delighted to be with you. Thank you so much for tuning in. It's lovely to be with you. I'd like to welcome our syndication partner listeners, and that is Radio Today in Johannesburg. It is Eldo's FM, Timmining Stereo 89.1, MC 90.3 in Plettenberg Bay, Knysna FM, Wild Coast FM, Cowie FM, and Bay FM. So welcome all, South Africa. It's lovely to have you listening to the show. This, of course, is the show where we keep you entertained, informed, and inspired. And I don't know if you've ever had that experience when you get in your car and you get to your destination and you cannot remember how you got there. You got there and you got there safe and sound, but you don't remember the journey. Or you've sat in a room, maybe it's a boardroom, maybe it's a room with friends and family, and you're laughing and you're having a conversation. In fact, you're participating, but you walk out and you remember very little. It's almost as if you were sitting there, but you weren't really there taking part 100%. Or maybe that time when you've sat down and you've eaten a meal, and as you're eating that first course, you're eating and you're talking and you're thinking, and the meal finishes and you can't remember what it tasted like. In fact, you can hardly even remember what you ate. Has that ever happened to you? Well, I'm ashamed to tell you that it's happened to me a number of times. And I kind of think, based on the readings and based on people that I've met, that it's all around consciousness. And really what started the conversation for today's show is the fact that Deepak Chopra is coming to South Africa in March. And we're very, very excited about this. This month he will be here. He will be speaking in Johannesburg. He will be speaking in Durban and Cape Town. Incidentally, I have tickets to give away. So who knows, you may be going along and watching and listening to Deepak Chopra. And why? Well, he's written a book and it's all about being hungry and it's all about being conscious and being aware around the food that you eat. So we thought, well, let's just expand on the conversation. Let's get these extraordinary minds together in the studio and let's talk about it and let's think about the way we're living and the way we're interacting in the world today. So I'm so delighted to introduce you to my panel. I have in the studio Karen de Jager, who is the director of consciousness coaching, The Conscious Way, and she's an accredited master coach and qualified through the Consciousness Coaching Academy. Hi Karen.
Hi.
Thank you so much for joining us, Karen. And I have Robin Banks. I have interviewed Robin before. I think, Robin, we were bouncing on a trampoline. I don't know if you remember.
Oh, my goodness. Yes,
it was all
remember.
About that positive. You remember, yes. You see, because you nearly went through the ceiling. That's
yes.
Why you remember.
I love my
you were
I
conscious.
Love my rebounder.
And Robin is an international speaker. He's a mind power coach. He's an author, a mind power and personal mastery, and dedicating his life to the transformation of global consciousness. So I think before we even go into global consciousness and consciousness coaching, Robin, let me start off by asking you, what in your opinion and in your experience, how would you describe consciousness?
I think consciousness is a state of awareness. I've never been asked that question, so I'm really speaking straight off the cuff here.
Good.
But for me, consciousness is just wherever you choose to put your energy and what you choose to focus on and deliberately put your attention into is where your consciousness is. Someone asked me last week in my seminar, where is the mind? Which is actually a really good question because the brain is
there.
In the head. But where's the mind? And my way of describing it, which is really just my own interpretation, is I said to the person, well, think of your big toe right now, your right big toe. I said, put your whole mind in your right big toe. I said, that's where your mind is, in your right big toe.
Brilliant.
And I said, now think of yourself being on a beach in Seychelles. Well, that's where your mind is. And the beautiful thing about the mind is there is no limit about where it can go. And the same is true of consciousness. Consciousness is unlimited. We can choose where we want to put our consciousness, where we want to put our focus, and how we want to direct it. So that's my interpretation.
I love that interpretation. It's very easy to get your head around that explanation. Thanks for that, Robin. Karen, consciousness, would you go with that one? I would. And what I would like to add to that is, for me, consciousness is creating extra awareness. And awareness provides choice. So when you do have more awareness, you have more options available. And from that perspective, that's also always a moment-to-moment thing, to choose in the moment what would be the best outcome. And it's provided by the choice that you have.
So how do you have more awareness in a moment? We live in such a noisy world, don't we? There's so many distractions, besides the obvious distractions with the technology that we have. But we have other distractions, these inner conversations and turmoil and restrictions that we have self-imposed. Where do we get that from? I want some.
Well, I think it's a constant awareness process from moment to moment to keep on expanding on that. And for someone that's been freshly introduced to the concept, it's very difficult to do that. So I would say that it's by removing all the clutter, all the things that's standing in our way, to be 100% in the moment. And there you will find lots of things available where you can start seeing, you know, okay, so this is causing a conversation for me, that is causing clutter in my life. So it's almost like in removing everything, all the filters, so that you can just be clear, open and available to be in the moment. And then you always have a better option to choose a solution to whatever you are dealing with.
Okay, so you want more choice, be more conscious.
Yeah.
Okay. So I described, Robin, at the beginning, driving, and it really, really has happened to me when I've arrived, and I just can't remember getting there.
Absolutely, because it's happened to all of
us. It's very scary when you go through these moments, and I do find as well that there can be long periods of time that I'm just not aware of. I'm not even aware of the passage of time, and yet I seem to have filled that time with so much stuff. Mm. Does that make sense?
It does. In fact, one of the things I speak about in my mind power seminars is just we live in two worlds at the same time, the inner world of our thoughts, feelings, attitudes and beliefs, in the outer world of circumstances, the physical world we are in, the world of reality. But I actually use that exact example. How many times have you gone through the traffic light, and as you go through it, you think, was that red or green? And of course, 90% of the time it's green. It's the other 10% that concerns me. And we've all had that. I mean, I often say to them, how many of you have had that? And we've all gone through a light that was red and you weren't really present.
Well, now, you, not me.
No, you've never had that? No, I've definitely had it. I was in Los Angeles a couple of weeks ago. My John Keogh said to me, Robbie, you just went through a red light. I'm like, oh, oops.
I'm from South Africa, sorry.
Yeah, in red, it's allowed. No, but coming back to the point, I do think we do that, and I really love what Karen was saying. I love that word, Karen, awareness. It's such a beautiful word, to be truly aware. And I just want to go back to what Karen was saying, because I'd like to build on some of what you were saying, that actually it is about building the awareness and constantly learning to, there's two things. One side, and they're almost opposing, is to learn to control and discipline the mind and really be aware of where you're focusing your thoughts and attention. And that's why in the mind power process, I actually say to people, I want you to spend 30 minutes a day really focusing your mind.
Really?
And you'll be quite amazed to realize how challenging it is to either think no thought, or to think about one particular topic for 5 minutes, because the mind is like a spoiled child. It thinks whatever it wants to think whenever it wants to think it.
Mm.
But the beautiful thing is there are techniques that we can use to harness and control the mind and really choose where we want to focus our attention and where we want to put our awareness. And coming back again to what Karen said earlier, and I think you touched on it as well, about how can we truly just be aware and in the moment. And one of my favorite techniques that I got from The Power of Now, from Eckhart Tolle, you guys probably recall it, but I use this often, and I really would encourage the listeners to use it, especially when you're going through one of those times when you're just feeling overwhelmed by everything around you, or as I call it, over the whelm. It just makes it funny. I'm feeling over the whelm. And what he suggests is that if you really want to bring yourself into the present moment, ask yourself the following question. I wonder what my next thought's going to be.
And just
do
incredible.
That. Just do that with me. Seriously, just try
that.
I wonder what my next thought is going to be. And it's such a beautiful thing, because you think nothing. And it's great, because then you come into it, because you're waiting for the thought. You actually find that you're in the present moment. And then you are truly there.
Mm.
And a beautiful quote by Lao Tzu. Sorry, a lot of things just rushing through my mind. One of my favorite quotes by Lao Tzu. If you are depressed, it's because you're living in the past.
Mm.
If you're anxious, it's because you're living in the future. If you're at peace, it's because you're living in the present.
In the present.
And when you really, any given moment, well, maybe not any, there might be different ones, but by far 95% of the moments you catch yourself. And if you ask yourself right now, in this very second, what problem do I have right now? If you're really there in the moment, you have no problem, because when you're truly present, there you are.
Mm.
And all there
all
is
you
is
have.
Being.
It's all
and
you
being
have.
Is the gift we bring.
Mm.
I don't know if I answered your question.
You did. You know, there's so many questions and there's
so
many
it's
concepts.
A big topic.
It's a wonderful topic. I love this topic. So, Karen, Robin's talking about being dedicated and being focused and actually having to exercise it. So you're exercising the brain and being aware like you would any other body part, I suppose. Is that where meditation comes in? And I hesitate using the word because I don't want people to go, oh, well, meditation's just for the new age and, well, that excludes me.
Well, I think meditation is a wonderful tool because essentially if you can slow down the mind, you can start seeing and observing where the mind spends the most time. And then by seeing that, it's almost like in putting everything in slow motion. Then you can decide better. And also what Robin has said is if you are in the moment, then lots of options are available. But if the mind is so busy processing all sorts of things and there is no space, so it's almost like in you getting this huge gift and you've got nothing available. You no space available to receive that.
Mm.
And the options that you have is just like in manifold when you are there, present, to see them.
So how do we do it? I mean, we've spoken about meditation. Robin, you spoke about Eckhart Tolle saying, well, I wonder what my next thought is going to be. But if people listening right now are making the decision to work on their awareness and be in this present moment so that they can slow everything down and be able to have the choice, because really it's wonderful to be able to have that choice. What would you say to people this moment right now, besides asking what is my next thought? What should we start to become aware of?
I think clarity for me is the key component. What is it that you want? Exactly. What is it that you want? So that you can then start focusing your energy and your mind in that direction. And then you will find the options available for you to make it happen for yourself. And for that, it's a dedicated process. You need to really be committed to get to that space where you can provide the clarity for yourself, and from that you can find different options and different solutions and get things into your life that you really desire, as opposed to just fighting curveballs all the time.
So it's dedication and work. I mean, we're talking about putting effort in.
I actually say to people in my course, I want you to become an athlete of the mind, mentally fit and focused and so sharp, because just like you can make your body fit and sharp and toned and focused, most of us don't practice. Well, I can practice. Most of us don't practice our minds. But we don't exercise our minds. Because actually mind power is a practice. I say to people, it's not positive thinking. Positive thinking is ineffective. I'm sorry. I hate to be...
Hang on.
Positive thinking.
Did you just say positive thinking is
absolutely
ineffective?
I'd much rather you did positive thinking than negative thinking. But the problem with positive thinking... Okay, let me ask you this question. Don't you love it when you're having a really tough time and someone says, oh, there, don't worry, Nikki, just think positive. It's the most irritating thing when someone says think positive, because right now I'm going through such frustration, you're telling me to think positive. Mind power is not positive thinking. Mind power is a practice. And it's something that I do every single day. So every single day, I spend right now, because I'm doing a Mind Power program, 30 minutes a day. But on average, I do 10 to 20 minutes a day where I literally take time out, like most people go to the gym. Or I go to the gym at least 5-6 days a week to work my body out. I spend at least 10 to 20 minutes a day stopping to become consciously aware of what I'm thinking about and to choose what I want to think about. Now, meditation is actually almost the exact opposite of mind power, because the whole idea of meditation is to slow the thinking down and think no thought. In mind power, I say, yes, slow the thinking down, but then you choose your thought. And you say, this is what I want you to think about. And both of them have got their place. So coming back to your original conversation about why is it that we can spend 20 minutes on a journey and we don't know what we were doing, because actually we weren't really focused. Whereas if you really are present, you can still be driving and you can be using your awareness to work out a problem, as you were saying earlier, where you can choose to contemplate a solution for what it is you're looking for. Like people often come to me and say, Robin, what should I do? And I'll never, ever tell anybody what to do. Because I always say, listen to your heart. Because if you listen to the heart always speaks truth. In fact, I've got a new affirmation. Would you like to hear it?
Yes.
I'm so excited. I love it.
Share it.
Every year I create a new mantra. Last year's was very bold and, you know, it was last year's was 2014. The new Robin Banks emerges. Deeper, wiser, and even more expansive. Healthier, wealthier, and even more successful. Faster, leaner, and even more toned. Focused, disciplined, and even more determined. Creative, inventive, and even more productive. I know what I want. I deserve what I want. I get what I want. I'm a top international speaker, successful throughout this planet. I am brilliant. I am bright. I'm a radiant being of light. I'm an outstanding peak performer. I'm a dynamic life transformer. Now, I know it's a mouthful.
I'm exhausted.
I know. It's a mouthful.
How did you get out of bed every day?
Oh, because of that. I was literally pulled out of bed by my vision. And so what was great is last year, what was awesome is that my last year was about manifesting and creating a new way of being. And I wanted to really step my game up, and I did. But I burnt out, surprisingly, with that man mantra. The new one this year, and this comes back to what Karen was saying earlier, we have the gift of choice. That's one of the biggest gifts we've been given. You can choose what you want to focus on, where you want to put your attention. So this year, I was speaking to my coach, and she was saying to me, I really want you to slow down and get in touch with your heart. So the new mantra is 2015 marks a brand new start. I listen to the voice deep in my heart. I know my truth. I speak my truth. I live my truth. I am balanced, centered, and whole. I am deeply connected to my soul. I do enough, I have enough, I am enough. I let love radiate without concern for results. I am guided, directed, and protected. I cannot tell you how that's deepened my experience with my own self. It's a very different energy
completely
to last year's.
Different.
I loved last year's, completely loved it, and I still use that when I need to get on stage and I really want to be in a particular state. But what I'm finding this year is I'm feeling so much more centered. I'm feeling so much more connected, not only to myself, but connected to the people I'm meeting. I'm making the effort to really connect. And coming back to the whole conversation we're having, consciousness is wherever you choose to focus your attention. Most people are so unaware that what they're choosing to focus their attention on is what's wrong, what's making them miserable, what's making them depressed. And if you focus on what's going to make you depressed, you're going to feel more depressed. In any moment, you can choose to focus on gratitude. In any moment, you can choose to focus on abundance. It's really about awareness. And I believe that as things are speeding up on this planet, we are going to be manifesting at much faster rates than we used to. And the mind doesn't care what you choose to manifest. It's your job
to be mindful.
You have to be mindful.
What you're manifesting. Yeah. Karen, I find those affirmations, because that is an affirmation.
It's more of a mantra. An affirmation is short,
really. Let's call it a mantra.
That's a mantra.
I find those mantras fascinating, because that first one, 2014, as I said, it was exhausting. You set the bar, it was go, 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 achieve. And I could imagine you standing there with your arms stretched out.
Yeah.
But the second one, if your arms were stretched out, your head was back and you were connecting with something just far greater, higher, absolutely. Yeah. What are your thoughts on that? I'd love to know.
So for me, the shorter the affirmation, the better.
Yeah, easy to remember.
Because mind doesn't like complicated things, you know. So if you can just grab onto that and hold and be in the presence of that, that way it's much easier to be able to focus properly. Then also, I always say to all my clients, the one thing that you will always have is choice. So for me, that is such an empowering statement, because I know it doesn't matter what happens, I have choice. I have choice, even if it is how will I do the next step? How will I decide what the rest of my life will look like? So to get to the stage where you can start surrendering to the next step will happen, and I truly believe that everyone has got the ability to find their own space, their own success, their own happiness within themselves. That's why questions are so inspiring, rather than supplying people with answers and methods of what they should do. Because if you can find within your own self, it's like a process of self-discovery, which is very empowering. Because when you do find that place where you can find the solution on your own, it never goes away. It's sustainable, because you were the author.
You've just said it never goes away. It's sustainable. And Robin, you've spoken about how important it is to work the body and to work the mind. If you're not on top of your game, if you're not focusing your mind, if you're not really working on it all the time, and it can be exhausting having to be aware and focused and the choice and everything else, then you can go back. Or can you ever reach a point where you just change your paradigm completely? So your way of thinking, and you automatically go into this conscious state. Is that possible? Or is it just like the body where it's toned, beautiful, stop gymming, and it goes back to what it was?
Well, I suppose it's a forever ongoing journey.
Okay.
We in this
That's
lifetime.
That's how we have to see it. It's a journey. Okay.
It's a journey. It's not about reaching the destination.
Mm.
It's about celebrating every moment that you are able to do that. And the more you do it, it's like in almost flexing a muscle. You become used to doing it that way. And then you'll find, which seemed to be hard work in the beginning, is actually much easier than to be so busy in your mind with all those thoughts and feelings and all those things going on. So it's actually much better and a more inspiring space to be in. Mm. Quiet and, you know, clarity, and I can see options.
So again, yeah. discipline.
But it doesn't have to be a hard thing, because as I'm listening, you know, it sounds like, oh my gosh, discipline, I got to
do
this.
And every day, every 10 minutes,
you know,
15
that
minutes.
Creates even more anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
There's a way of doing it that's a pleasure. Like I often say to people, think of the mind as a garden of rich, fertile soil. Any seed you plant it into it, if you nourish and care for it, it'll grow. And if you want to become a master gardener, you have to work in your garden. But a master gardener loves working in his garden. It's his biggest pleasure. A friend of mine's father in London has the most beautiful, exquisite garden, and it's his biggest joy. He loves working in his garden. So in the same way, if it becomes like, oh man, I got to do my mind power, you know, then I actually say to my students, please don't do it.
You're in the wrong
headspace. If that's
your
attitude, don't do it. Mm. It's actually got to be a place of like, I really enjoy this. And again, if we do it with the right attitude, and you do it with a sense of peaceful joy, this is something I love doing. I mean, I absolutely love going to work. It's really not a mission. Mm. I absolutely love it. I mean, I can't believe it. People once said to me, why am I so positive? I said, because it pays. But I mean, people pay me to be positive. How cool is that? But I really do love it. I really, really do. And in the same way, I enjoy doing my mind power exercises, because I've seen the results they produce. So why wouldn't I want to work in a garden if I can see the beauty it's going to create?
So what happens when your garden is a little bit overgrown and you are feeling a little bit fatigued? Because it happens. It's human nature.
It does happen.
What do you do, Robin? How do? Because you're such a positive person. Yeah. I mean, you emanate it. You feel it as you walk in through the door. How do you pick yourself up?
Well, you know, the one thing that, I mean, people often say to me, geez, Robin, you probably always positive. No. Nobody's always positive. I really want to make that point clear. I think that is an illusion to think that you can live in a state of constantly being positive and radiating this energy. I mean, everybody has a bad day now and then. I had a bad day in March last year. It was terrible. But I'm kidding. It was May. No, I'm joking. But what I'm getting at is two things. One is, sometimes I'll actually allow myself to be there. I'll actually allow myself, you know, I'm feeling a bit flat. It's been a long trip. I've been traveling. I spend my life on a plane. And sometimes I enjoy literally having a day where I veg, doing nothing meaningful.
Mm.
I'll watch TV. I'll chill. I'll sleep. I'll just really enjoy it. I'll give myself one of those once a month or something like that, where I'll just be like, this is a day where I'm just going to switch off and enjoy it and really enjoy it. But here's the most important thing. Everybody, it's okay to have a bad day, but don't make a campsite. You don't have to live there. Coming back to the point that we've said again and again and again, because the word that's come up over and over again is choice. At any moment, you can choose to get out of it. At any moment, you can choose to change your state by changing what you're choosing to focus on.
Mm-hmm.
It really is that simple, ladies and gentlemen. Whatever you focus on is what you attract. You are like a magnet, and whatever energy you put out determines what you're going to get back. So if you're not liking your current state, I promise you, 100%, it's because of what you're focusing on. Change what you're focusing on. Does that mean that the thing you're concerned about is going to change? No. It just means you're going to focus on other things, which are also there as well. And whatever you keep feeding energy is going to grow. If you keep focusing on what's wrong and how miserable your life is, you're going to feel worse. If you keep focusing on how you'll never find the right relationship, so be it. You'll never find the right relationship, because you keep telling yourself the right person is just not out there. And anything asking you shall receive is a law of the universe. And if you focus on one of my CDs, Personal Mastery, the first affirmation was very consciously chosen. I am deeply thankful for the abundance, the joy, and the love that surrounds me every day. Say that 10 times a day. I am deeply thankful for the abundance, the joy, and the love that surrounds me every day.
Do you have to feel it?
Well, it's better if you feel it, because science has proven that everything is energy and vibration. Absolutely.
So if you're feeling it, that's the energy space that you're in.
You are vibrating that energy.
Okay.
And because you're like a magnet.
Which is why you would use your mind, you would see it, you would picture it.
But you also said, when I walked in, you feel my energy. Mm. Everyone feels energy. Mm. You walk into a room, people pick up on your energy and vibration. The thing is, I consciously choose the energy I'm putting out. I literally choose the energy I'm going to put out.
It's very powerful.
And anyone can.
Robin Banks, thank you. Corin, you're staying there. You're not moving anywhere. It's wonderful, wonderful, wonderful having you in the studio.
Always
thank you. Thank you.
Conversations with Nikki, keeping you entertained, informed, and inspired.
You know, I have been following this man for many, many years, and I am so privileged and rather overwhelmed and very, very delighted to have Deepak Chopra on the show. I have told you that he is coming to South Africa. He will be giving a talk in Durban and Johannesburg and Cape Town as well. And so he's going to be spending a short while with us on the show today. Deepak Chopra, of course, author and public speaker, alternative medicine advocate, and a promoter of popular forms of spirituality, and he has been described by the New York Times as a controversial New Age guru. Deepak, welcome. It is really a privilege. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So, Deepak, you have been to South Africa before.
Yes, many times.
And how do you find South Africans? No pressure, by the way.
Some parts of it delightful and some parts distressing. We do have a situation in South Africa where the majority of people still do not enjoy good jobs, career well-being, social well-being, economic well-being, community well-being. So it is a challenging country at the moment, and yet it's emerging as a modern country as well. So there's both sides to South Africa.
You say you've been to South Africa on a number of occasions, and we're celebrating 21 years of democracy, and of course losing Mandela over a year ago. It's almost as if the lights dimmed on the entire nation, and we are struggling. We're talking about dimming lights. We're struggling with power outages. We're struggling with political unease, and these things seem to happen. You, on your different journeys, do you notice a different energy when you come? Is it that obvious to you, or do you just see it as just a transient moment and things moving and shifting as they naturally should?
Well, things always evolve. It takes time, though, for a country that had a colonial rule for such a long time, for a country that suffered the indignity of apartheid for such a long time, and then for a country that had a leader like Nelson Mandela, who's not only a South African hero but a hero for the rest of the world.
Sure.
It's a great country, and I think it has a great future, but we have to be patient, and we have to also understand that the backstory is what is contributing to the present story. However, the present story can evolve into a great story, and it surely will.
Thank you for that, Deepak. And we are going to take a break in a moment, but I just want to remind you that I do have tickets, two double tickets to give away to Deepak Chopra's lifestyle seminars and workshops. So they're taking place in Joburg on the 18th of March, Durban the 19th of March, and Cape Town the 21st of March, and tickets are available from CompuTicket. So if you're wondering how to get your hands on those tickets, the ones that I'm giving away, first and foremost, you need to go to my Facebook page.
page, which is Conversations with Nikki, and you need to like the page. In order to be entered into the competition, you have to like my Facebook page. Once you've liked the Facebook page, tomorrow I am going to be posting the information on Deepak Chopra. If you like it and share it, your name will then be entered into the draw to win a set of double tickets. So it's very simple. Just like the Facebook page, and then when you actually see the post, like it and share it. And if you are the lucky winner, then we will be contacting you, and we'll be getting those tickets to you, and you and a friend will be able to go. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Hi, Carolyn Stain here, founder of 67 Blankets for Nelson Mandela Day. By April 15, we're aiming to reach a target of 21,000 handmade blankets to mark 21 years of democracy. I'm delighted that CelC is a proud supporter, and we're challenging all corporates in South Africa to join this initiative so we can keep thousands of people less fortunate warmer this winter. So come on, corporates, answer the challenge. We're putting the power in your hands. Go to www.67blankets.co.za.
Welcome to Conversations with Nikki, with your host, Nikki Severini.
And welcome to Conversations with Nikki. I'd like to welcome our syndication partner listeners. That's Radio Today in Johannesburg, Eldos FM in Johannesburg, Bay FM in PE, MC 90.3 FM in Plettenberg Bay, Knysna FM, Wild Coast FM, Timmering Stereo 89.1, and Cowie FM. Great to have you on board. And continuing with my conversation with Deepak Chopra. Deepak, I'd like to go back in your history. I mean, I know that your father was a prominent cardiologist. So, I mean, you really did grow up in an environment of medicine and healing. Do you remember your father telling you or teaching you about this medical profession?
Yes, my father was a very classical, modern cardiologist.
Mm.
He, by the way, was also one of the original people who described mountain sickness, and he was a great scientist as well.
Hmm.
But he embodied all the principles of great healers, from Heraclitus to Pythagoras to many others. So he had skillful technical skills, but he was also very compassionate and a true healer.
Was he a great mentor to you? Is that why you entered the medical profession?
I entered the medical profession inspired by him, yes, definitely.
And you were drawn to study endocrinology, particularly neuroendocrinology. And I read that you wanted to find a biological basis for the influence of thoughts and emotions. And we've just been talking about that in the studio, the power of thoughts and emotions. What was that journey like for you?
It was a very interesting journey, first of all, because when I was in training, we were discovering the molecules of emotion, which everyone knows about now, such as dopamine, serotonin, oxytocin, opiates, and many, many others.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, in my clinical practice, I was very aware that you could have two patients who received the same treatment, they had the same illness, they saw the same doctor, but they could have completely different outcomes. Since then, now, up to now, there's been even more evolution. Now there is the science of epigenetics, which means that every thought, every emotion, every social interaction, every relationship, every experience shifts our biology from moment to moment by actually turning on and turning off the activities of our genes.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I recently wrote a book called Superbrain with Harvard neurologist Rudy Tanzi, who's also a geneticist, and we're now together writing a book called Super Genes, which talks about how our genes are not static but shift from moment to moment. Based on what we're experiencing in life. And so if you're experiencing love, compassion, joy, equanimity, inspiration, your genes will be very different than in their activity than if you're experiencing fear or anger or hostility or resentment or guilt or shame or depression. So we can see the inseparability now between what happens in our consciousness and what happens in our body. And the reverse too, what happens in our body influences our consciousness. The two activities are inseparable.
You talk about the genes. Let's talk about where we come from. We talk about our heritage. And what kind of impact does that have? So, for example, if we do have family members in the past who experienced traumas or experienced great achievements and great things, are we carrying that in our DNA? And does that affect us as well?
Well, there's some evidence for what is called soft inheritance. So a traumatic experience in a mother can lead to certain effects in her baby, even if the traumatic experience was before conception. For example, in Netherlands, they discovered that children were born to people who had suffered starvation in the war or famine, there was a higher incidence of diabetes and obesity. The exact mechanism for this soft inheritance is not yet known, but it is definitely now understood that epigenetics, or what epi means above, so epigenetics means things that are outside the gene, the environment, influence what happens to the activity of the genes, and we don't know exactly how that's transmitted to generations in the future. In animals, traumatic experience like an electrical shock associated with a smell will be transmitted to future generations of mice who have never been who've never experienced the shock, but will respond to the smell in the same way as their ancestors who did receive the shock. So, as I said, the mechanism is not known, but there is certainly now evidence that memories are transmitted to future generations, which leads to a very basic fundamental issue in consciousness research, which is where are memories stored at the cellular level. We know that there are certain areas of the brain that get activated when you recall a memory, but that's just a neural correlate. It does not tell us where memories are stored. And, you know, there is evidence that they could be stored non-locally, which means not in space and time. That's a whole different discussion.
It's so complex and it's so fascinating.
It's complex, but it leads to, you know, questions such as, is there reincarnation of memory that is stored in what spiritual traditions call the soul? As I said, that's a whole different discussion.
Well, it's wonderful, Deepak. It really is. But with these thoughts and with the healing that you've done, because we're going to be talking about your book in a moment, as I said, New York Times said that you are the controversial New Age guru and booster of alternative medicine, that Time magazine included you in the list of the 20th century heroes and icons. Mikhail Gorbachev referred to you as one of the most lucid and inspired philosophers of our time. And Cosmo Landsman, in 2005, wrote about you. He said, "You're hardly a man now, more a lucrative New Age brand, the David Beckham of personal growth." When you're out there and you're questioning things and you're bringing forth the theories that we have been talking about, you are open to criticism, obviously. How do you deal with that? Is it important that people listen? Is it important that you're able to convert the way people think? Is that important to you?
Well, over the years, I've learned to not take criticism personally. I've realized that if you do it, you'll be offended for the rest of your life.
Too true.
So I don't take it personally. I also realize that each of those comments, by the way, that you just, recited the different perspectives, these all also reflect the person who made those comments.
Too true.
We see the world as we are.
Too true.
It's a very interesting thing. So many times when people write about you, they're also, in a way, exposing how they see the world. And there's nothing wrong with that. You know, if you want to achieve anything in life, though, I think you have to be independent both of the good comments and the bad comments.
Mm.
You have to be independent to both criticism and flattery. And that's something you learn as you grow older.
Okay, I'll remember that one, Deepak. Thank you. Deepak, let's talk about this wonderful book, Deepak Chopra, What Are You Hungry For? And I love it because you say, get rid of the diets, this incessant dieting and worrying about, is this the right amount of food? Is it the right type of food, et cetera, et cetera. You said it's about being aware what your triggers, what is triggering you to eat a particular food? Sorry, that was my throat. Can you expand on that?
When it comes to food, people put food in their bodies only for one of two reasons. One is that they're actually physically hungry for food, or they're emotionally hungry for something else. And if you feed your emotional hunger, whether it is for attention, affection, appreciation, acceptance, or self-esteem, when you do that, then you risk, of course, obesity and diabetes and all the things. And physical food will not satisfy emotional or spiritual hunger.
Mm.
So that's the message of that book. It also guides people into how to actually find what the source of hunger is in their physical and emotional bodies. What am I hungry for right now? I'm hungry for further understanding of the evolution of our consciousness.
Mm.
And that's my major preoccupation right now.
Is this what you're bringing to South Africa in a few weeks' time?
Yes, I will definitely explore in South Africa what I see as the future evolution of the human species.
And how are these new concepts, new ideas, Deepak? I mean, you've written so many books and people follow you so closely. Is this something new? Are they going to hear more of the same, or is this a new direction?
No, definitely there's going to be a lot more new information on neuroplasticity, on epigenetics, on social well-being, on spiritual well-being, but also what we can expect as a result of increasing self-awareness, self-reflection, experiences of transcendence. What is the future of well-being in all those areas, and how does that relate to not only our evolution as a human species, but actually the human universe? Because what we experience as the universe is a human universe, exposed to a human nervous system, and to methods of investigation that only human beings ask, to questions that human beings ask. So I'm going to be going very deep into that as well.
It's not only interesting, Deepak, but very, very important questions. And we started the interview talking about South Africa and where we are, and if we South Africans are able to harness those kind of concepts and ideas, then I think it could only have an incredibly positive impact.
Yes, I think so.
Mm.
You know, as I said, South Africa is a crossroads right now, and has to see the death of an old paradigm and the resurrection of a new soul, collective soul.
Mm.
And I see that as happening, because South Africa gifted to the world a person like Nelson Mandela.
Too true. Collective soul. Before you go, very quickly, I know that you are with Oprah. You're doing a meditation. You're trying to get people to meditate. The first half of the show, we were talking about getting into that mindful, conscious state, clearing the mind, the meditation. Are you getting a great response? Are you wanting more people to meditate?
Yes,
and is this something you just have to practice?
3 million people online.
How many?
Three million people.
Wow.
Have learned meditation. Oprah Chopra. And it's offered free, so you can go to ChopraCenterMeditation.com and participate in that. And it's very encouraging to see how throughout the world, wherever I go, whether it's Russia or China or East Europe or Latin America, people are participating in this collective meditation.
Mm. That is encouraging. Deepak, thank you very much. It's been so lovely. I wish I could spend more time. And we look forward to hosting you in South Africa and, of course, listening to these wonderful ideas. Thank you so much, Deepak.
Thank you very much.
Do take care. Bye-bye.
This is Conversations with Nikki, with your host, Nikki Seberini.
That is Deepak Chopra, and these three talks that are taking place in Johannesburg on the 18th, in Durban on the 19th, and in Cape Town on the 21st. Get your tickets. These are mind-blowing thoughts and concepts. We have Karensel in the studio. We were talking to Robin about the mind, about possibilities of being conscious, and he really is the father. He is the guru, isn't he, Karen? He's the epitome, the he's just unbelievable. Just when he talks, you're just drawn to every word.
Such an amazing man with so much wisdom.
Karen, I asked you the question. I said, how do we do it? How every day can we be in that present moment? How can we be disciplined enough to do it? And you've given me a wonderful set of cards. Tell me about these cards. I love cards, just by the way.
Okay. So last year, we identified the opportunity to write to design a set of cards to support someone in a daily action of moving towards being more aware and more conscious. So we came up with 54 cards, and each one of those cards has got an instruction. And the instructions are easy to follow. You don't have to have done any of the courses. But also it's an aid to help people stay on track and to exercise the muscle of becoming more aware daily.
So every day they choose a card?
Yes.
And as you say, it could last a week. It could last, they can think about it over a week or a day. Now, Deepak Chopra's book, What Are You Hungry For? And when we really just spoke very briefly about that, about being conscious, aware, what's triggering. The one card I got of yours says, be aware of your sense of taste today.
How amazing is that?
I really, really like that. Take a bite of food and taste the different components. What stands out about the taste? Taste the different flavors. Chew with gratitude and be present to the gift of your body. Practice gratitude today by having these words in your awareness throughout the day. I am grateful for what I can taste. And that's really being conscious and present when you eat. And then I suppose if you are, you're going to choose to eat the healthy food. Because
exactly.
That's really what Deepak is saying.
Yeah, it's actually amazing that you chose that card, and that the theme for today is all about being aware of what you eat and what you're actually really hungry for. So, yes.
Another card, forgive one person in your life that has hurt you in any way by letting go of making them wrong for their actions. Wonderful. I'm looking so forward to working through these cards. Karen, thank you so much. If any of our listeners are interested, can they contact me or can they contact you? How would you like to work?
They can contact me. They can use my email address. It's Karen, Karin, at theconsciousway.co.za, or they can contact the studio if it's okay with you, and then
fantastic.
You can put them into contact.
Karen,
with me.
Thank you. I love my gift. I absolutely love it. And it's been so lovely having you in the studio.
Thank you
very much, Karen de Jager. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you for having me.
So we spoke a little bit about meditation. We spoke a little bit about how do we take that mindfulness? How do we empty our minds of thoughts? I mean, is it possible to empty one's mind of thought and focus? Well, I really do have a man who can answer all of those questions. Warren Munitz, who is a master coach with Integrated Life. And he has so much experience in meditation. He has traveled the world. And if anyone can tell us about that, Warren can. So Warren, welcome to the show. And really, thank you for your time and for sharing your expertise.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, Nikki. I hope I can answer your question.
Well, can one empty the mind? I mean, is it possible? Because is that what we're hoping to do when we meditate?
No.
Oh, thank goodness. Thank goodness.
I
thank
mean,
you
I
for saying that, Warren, because
lies.
I can't.
Yeah. It's not possible to empty the mind. That's not the point.
Mm.
What is the? It's about the focus of your attention. So what happens when you are thinking? You're in that analysis paralysis, thoughts are flying. The point of your thinking is really to answer a question.
Mm.
So that's what thinking is. question and answer, question and answer.
Yeah.
But if you begin to concentrate on something else, for example, why are you thinking? Why are you thinking? More than likely, there's an unconscious emotion that you just don't want to go into.
Mm.
It's an anxiety, it's a depression, a sadness, a anger, whatever it is. It's something in the unconscious you're trying to avoid. Now, emptying the mind seems like a task. And I think a lot of people get the wrong idea about meditation.
Mm.
So what happens if we stop avoiding our unconscious, if we stop avoiding how we're feeling emotionally, our attention, or once the focus goes to our feelings, the thoughts slow down because they're not trying to avoid that space anymore. So what happens naturally is that the mind becomes calm. So when we say, or when we read, we must empty the mind, that's really a byproduct of the process of meditation itself.
Okay, I get that. So let me just rewind a little bit. Let me just rewind for a moment, because you've said, so these emotions are going to come. They're bubbling, if I may use that expression, to the surface. And you're saying don't push them down again. Allow them to come up and acknowledge them. How do we know when it's coming up? I talk about the food only because I have the Deepak Chopra book, but would we then go to the fridge and eat something if there's an emotion that we're not wanting to face? How do we know when there's an emotion? Are you talking about when we're in a meditative state?
No. We want to get to the meditative state all the time.
Okay.
So the practice of meditation is an exercise which hopefully leads to a meditative state throughout our day.
Mm-hmm.
Now, yes, if an emotion comes up and we don't want to feel that emotion, some people might choose to open the fridge.
Mm-hmm.
Some people might choose to go to sleep. And it all depends, or watch TV.
Mm.
So it all depends on what you, or how you want to avoid the emotion. But the emotions are coming all the time. It's not like emotions just come once a day. You know, when we're born, we're in that emotional unconscious space. Our ego develops out of that space, which means it's secondary. So that unconscious space is the ground of who we truly are.
Mm.
So that's always going to come up, because it's always our potential is to become who we truly are.
Mm-hmm.
So the journey to becoming who we truly are is just begin to allow your emotions to come up and attend to them. They're like friends that are trying to get your attention, and at the moment you're just too cool for them.
Mm.
But the moment we let them come in and we become friends with them, then a negative emotion isn't negative anymore. We only think it's negative, and when we think that, there's resistance to the emotion, and that causes a problem.
How does
one, we're resisting, it takes energy.
How does one become friends with a negative emotion, that which makes us feel fearful or angry or anxious?
The emotion itself is angry,
mm-hmm.
or the emotion itself is fear.
Yeah.
The problem is not the actual emotion, because if you actually opened up to feeling that experience,
mm-hmm.
that is the experience of being alive. It is the experience of being alive. Now, we might feel uncomfortable, but that doesn't necessarily mean we're going to be unhappy. When you're able to feel your emotion without judging it, without saying, I'm scared, and therefore I must be a coward, or a scaredy cat, or weak, or useless.
Mm-hmm.
The moment we stop judging the emotion and we begin to experience fully the emotion, we now have this extra energy. We are fully alive in the present moment.
Okay, there that present moment comes back, being in that moment. Do we have to resolve it? Do we have to analyze the emotion, or is it just allowing it to surface and feel it?
Exactly. It's more about allowing that emotion to be there, because maybe today you don't understand why it's there, and maybe you don't have to. If you're able to just be with that feeling, your emotion is your life force.
Mm.
if we look at it like that, your life is not going to stop. And imagine your emotions are like a river. Mm. Now, today the river is warm, but tomorrow the river might be cold.
Mm.
But it's still water, and you can still drink it. Mm. It's still going to nourish your body. So if you don't want cold water and you only want warm water, that means 50% more than likely of your energy is going to go to waste.
Mm.
Or more, because you're going to have to resist that.
I like
Does that make sense?
Yeah, I really do. I like that analogy. So if for people who are listening, Warren, who don't know anything about meditation, and I know it is complex, and I know it's something that you should be doing over a period of time. I mean, you've been in training and, you've, as I said, you've traveled the world doing it. But what would you say to people who are listening, who are saying, you know what, I'm prepared to give 5 minutes in the morning or 10, I beg your pardon, 10 minutes or half an hour. What should they do? How do they start?
Okay, so with that, I'm going to say a few things as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's an axiom in medicine that says what can heal can also harm.
Okay.
Which means if meditation has the ability to help us, it also has the ability to harm.
Wow, and, that's
interesting.
And
that doesn't mean that it's dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
It just means that we need guidance.
Okay.
Because what could happen is it could open up an underlying pathology in some people. Something that wasn't at the surface and now comes to the surface, and we become disoriented and unstable. And in those moments, it's important that we have guidance so that we learn how to integrate what comes up. So it is important to have someone that you can turn to. If you're going to start practicing meditation, I would suggest strongly that you have someone that you can bounce your experiences off, someone who is a little bit more ahead of the journey than you are.
Okay. I think it's good advice.
Now, the practice of meditation, really all you need to do is 5 minutes of just sitting, and do not get up. Do not leave your meditation seat, no matter what comes up for you. It's not a matter of technique, really. It's a matter of, I made up a technique called patient observation.
Mm-hmm.
So if you could sit and just watch, watch the thoughts, watch whatever comes up, feelings, judgments, and just observe them, and don't buy into the content of the thought, that will be the beginning of a meditation practice in self-awareness.
Okay. Simple, really.
Simple, and yet one of the hardest things we will ever do.
I'd absolutely agreed. And if we did it, I think we would be a lot less stressed. I really
absolutely
do. Mm. I live in a world, Warren, where I keep saying, I'm going to do it. I'm going to queen. You know what I'm saying? I will set aside the time to do it. And I find that time passes me by, which is why I'm just very excited about having this kind of conversation, because I'm sure many, many people feel the same way. And it's about doing it. As you said, just sit down and do it.
Exactly.
Mm.
Exactly. Meditation is said to be one of the best forms of self-therapy.
Mm.
I mean, you have the time. What is 5 minutes? Really? You have 5 minutes. Everyone has 5 minutes.
Mm. How long do you meditate for?
I meditate in the mornings and evenings for about 25 minutes each.
And when you finish meditating, are you tired, do you want to sleep, or are you energized and ready to move on? Or is it different?
So okay. When I meditate, exactly. I used to meditate for longer, but I found that I didn't need to meditate for so long.
Mm-hmm.
So in the mornings, I find that it centers me, it allows me to become focused and really connected and in touch with who I am again,
mm-hmm.
from being unconscious. And then when it's time for bed, I meditate just before bed. It almost allows me to have a much deeper and more peaceful sleep, because I process my day, or whatever I need to process. I find when I don't meditate, I struggle to fall asleep.
Mm.
I have a more restless sleep as opposed to when not.
It's certainly far healthier than taking sleeping tablets, that's for sure.
Absolutely.
Warren, thank you. Thank you very much. I'm inspired to go and spend those 5 minutes and hopefully expand on that time. And I do hope that many of the listeners are inspired and take your words to heart. Well, I hope that you were conscious and that you were present throughout the show. I really hope that you got bits of wisdom stuff that you can use for the future. A reminder, Deepak Chopra coming to South Africa. He will be in Joburg on the 18th of March, Durban the 19th of March, Cape Town the 21st of March. I have got tickets to give away. Would you like to go and watch Deepak Chopra? All you have to do is go to my Facebook page and like it. The Facebook page is called Conversations with Nikki. Once you like it, already you're going to be entered. Then once I make the post about Deepak Chopra, like that post and share it. Your name will automatically be entered into the competition. And we're going to be announcing it and we'll be contacting you if you're going to watch Deepak Chopra. Lucky, lucky, lucky you. Listen, thank you so much. It has been fantastic. I've so enjoyed the show and I'm looking very forward to being with you same time next week. From me, Nikki Seberini, take care of yourself. Goodbye.
Did you miss a show or have to leave mid-conversation? No problem. Visit our website on www.conversationswithnikki.co.za and catch up on all the shows.